is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Ah, it's good to hear Carmen. Good to be back home on Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. If you'd like to join us in this first half hour, and I do have a guest at the quarter hour, but we can still take your calls, 888-627-6008. We're doing this live. This is Spouting Off, show number 121. Toll free, 888-627-6008. Oh, my. You know, to be doing talk radio at a time like this, I mean, what, you know, how can you possibly miss? I'm jazzed because I just had a big post about a big article that was published on the Western Journal. I'm going to pull it up right now because, you know, I write them and then I forget about them. But the Western Journal is now showing my article, and right now it's trending, which is really kind of cool. It has about 7,500 hits on it, and I'm getting email from it. The reason it's so important is because it has to do with what is seems to be the subject of the moment, and that's hard since everything is so off the wall today. If I had, and I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again, if I had to choose one thing that truly symbolizes the insanity of 2020, that thing that you would put in a time capsule or something that indemnifies, that's the wrong word, that is endemic to the kind of hysteria and the kind of tyranny that we are watching that is totally divorced from all constitutional realities that we have lived with in the past, it would be the word mask or masquerade. My piece in the Western Journal, all you got to do is just go to either westernjournal.com and go to the op-ed section. Right now it's trending. It may over the weekend as well, because as you know, we have this show rebroadcast on the wonderful K-Star Radio Network. But the piece is called Complying with Tyranny on Masks Will Bring on More Tyranny. And the reason masks would be such a tremendous, is the symbol and endemic of what is going on today, because I believe that this coronavirus, I wrote another piece called Coronavirus or Virus Riots, Virus Riots Repeat. So they use the virus to let criminals out of jail. Then criminals, they incite into violence and burning cities. And that worked really well to help the Democrats, didn't it? And then they go back to the virus again. You could always tell when every leftist propaganda media outlet starts saying exactly the same thing at the same time. Suddenly, it's like clockwork, like a button you turn on and off. First, it's racism, racism, racism. And they go look for every single story, no matter how mistold, is that a word, in order to incite violence. And then like a light switch, they turn it off and suddenly somebody is calling the shots and saying, okay, let's switch over to coronavirus and let's make sure that we increase the numbers and never tell anybody about the death rate, because increasing the numbers, which of course will be higher when you've tested people, and gee, the same people testing people are the people that have lied about everything else. So yeah, we trust them to tell us the truth. Nevertheless, the numbers don't lie. I have numbers for you as well. But I have so much to say. Don't I always? I'm a talk show host. What else do I do? I rant. That's what I do. Complying with tyranny on masks will bring on more tyranny. And among the, and I've been talking about this all week on various radio shows around the country. I love being a guest on other people's shows because it's fun to talk to, you know, to be on the other side of the mic, so to speak. But one of the things that they really liked in this piece that was mentioned is the following. Let's see if I can find it for you, because it's always so much fun when they quote you to you. It's sort of fun. And let me find it here. You know, I'm looking at it going, where is this thing? I'll just speak from the heart until I find it. Masks have a psyop effect. They make people scared. They make people submissive. Masks are a boundary between ourselves and our neighbors. They create hostility. They create turning things upside down, because, of course, I bet you didn't know this. Maybe you did, but there's a whole lot of laws on the books federally that tell you there are places that you cannot wear a mask because you need to be identified, right? Who is it who wears a mask and means us harm? Well, it's people like Antifa and others who cover their faces so the cameras cannot identify them. And so now there is actually no difference between criminals who are wearing masks and you and I who are being forced to wearing masks. It doesn't really matter. Here is one thing that I was looking for. So here I'll tell you. We have seen how deadly the combination of collectivism and social bullying can be. It can often lead to mob rule and violence. We've certainly seen that. At that point, politicians don't have to worry about enforcing their unconstitutional orders. The mob does it for them. So here we have leftist governors, and note, it's always the left. Now, that doesn't mean the right isn't colluding some of the time, but it is the Democrat politicians that are being directed by the radical leftist communist socialists who want to get rid of Donald Trump at all costs because he stands in the way of freedom. He stands in the way of their agenda. We stand in the way of their agenda. That's important to remember. And another thing I said, and furthermore, after watching the same Democrat politicians refuse to impose their own orders on rioters, looters, and vandals, their credibility is lower than the fatality rate of the coronavirus. So that is kind of what's on my mind, and as my friends say, on my heart, for fighting back. Now, in the last week, we went from Walmarts deciding all over the country that they were going to demand masks. I see that, and this is important, I see that as Walmart playing ball with the government, being willing to do the bidding of the government, because the government can't demand these things. It's unconstitutional. But if they bully big box stores and bribe them, as they have been doing, point I will describe in a moment, I bet you know where I'm going with this, then Walmart, King Supers, Kroger stores, and a whole bunch more will say that they're going to require the masks because they know that conservatives tend to respect private business. But when private business is in bed with an all-powerful, unconstitutional government, then it ain't private business anymore. It's government business. And I've had an interesting discussion online, I guess, with libertarians who say, well, I don't want you to protest private business because they're private. But, you know, are they really? Are they really? I think I'd like to have that libertarian on the air so I could discuss it with him. And so a lot of people are discussing an action to go into these stores en masse. I love it. Unmask en masse. And enter the store with your mask if you care to. I don't even own one, nor do I intend to wear one. And fill your cart with whatever you want, and then at an appointed time, start singing the national anthem, leave your cart where it is, and walk out. Very quick, very complete. And a lot of people I know don't want to do that. We can't do that. That's a private business. But is it really a private business, as I say, when they're doing the bidding of the government? When you go into King Soopers, which, by the way, I'm not going to be shopping at anymore, King Soopers, Kroger stores, all that, you hear this low-level subliminal messages about staying home and staying safe and wearing a mask and we're all in this together. Is that what you expect from your food store? Is that what you want when you go to the grocery store? Is the grocery store brainwashing you about masks and coronavirus, which is purely a psyop right now operation of the government? I'm going to give you some numbers from Colorado because, as you know, that's where I hail from, or that's where I am at the moment. Right after the coronavirus was declared no longer a pandemic, the very next day, the governor of Colorado, who is atrocious, awful, and terrible, who can't clean up the Capitol, which looks like a disgrace, made a statewide mask order for the entire state of Colorado. The entire state, right? Because he didn't want counties who said they're not going to demand masks enjoying more business than those who do demand masks. Masks, make no mistake about it. If you submit to this, it will be much worse later. Pretty soon the government will say, you have to turn around three times, raise your left hand and say, thank you, dear leader, before entering any place of business. What's to stop them from doing that? I'm going to give you some statistics now before I got to take a break. The Colorado population is 5,700,000 people. And they've tested a whole lot more people now. And some of these are false positives. But they have tested 413,187 people. That's 7.2% of the population that they have tested. The cases reported are 38,000 some. Hospitalizations, 5,950. That's 0.104% of the population that has even been hospitalized. Death of cases reported, 1,744. Lower than ever before. I mean, lower than it's been per day, whatever. I'm just stunned by this. The percentage of the population is 0.031%, higher in Colorado than in some other places. And guess what? All of us should be forced to wear a mask, and it has nothing to do with the virus. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Casper Stockham, who's going to talk more about these masks, give me an opportunity to get his thoughts, and you are welcome to call in as well. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KstarRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back to spouting off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Yes, I think masks would be a mask, like masquerade, a mask covering the truth, covering the reality. So many things symbolic of masks, including unmasking General Flynn, the masks of Antifa, and the rioting, forcing citizens, law-abiding citizens, into masks, and blurring the lines between law-abiding people and criminals, and in fact reversing it so that law-abiding people are made into criminals, you know, and Antifa is now the ones who comply. I mean, you couldn't make this up. You couldn't make it up in a Tom Clancy novel. I am delighted to have with us Casper Stockham. He is a candidate for Congress in Colorado. He's also an activist, and he's quite well-spoken, and you may have heard him, I don't know, it's a couple of years now, when I asked him to fill in for me here on Spouting Off. Welcome to Spouting Off once again, Casper Stockham.
I am glad to be here with you, unmasked.
Me too. You know, can you imagine doing a radio show with a mask on? Yeah, I can. You know, pretty soon they'll have us drinking our food through a straw because you can't take your mask off to eat. I mean, you know, one thing just leads to another. Tell us what you think about these masks and what you think is most important for people to know.
Well, I think it's more government overreach. You know, here in Colorado, our governor just made it mandated as of midnight last night or this morning, whatever, that is mandated throughout the entire state.
Yes. Are you there? Do I still have you? Hello? I think I lost you there. Go ahead. I think I got you back.
Okay. I've got to find a place to pull over here so I can get a connection.
Okay. I'll do what we do in talk radio, which is called vamping. Now, that doesn't mean like being a vamp. It just means vamping until Casper can get to a better location. That just lets you know we're doing live talk radio and this isn't Memorex. Are you with me? Or otherwise, I was going to just keep going on and on like I do. Okay, go ahead. Tell us what you think about this, and is it worth fighting back on or not?
Well, I think it's fun, and I have definitely done that. In fact, I did a video last week to where I burned my mask. I knew this was coming.
You burned your mask. I love it.
I burned
is
my
like
mask.
Burning
and I
your
did
bra,
video.
Only different?
Big.
Maybe we need to have you call back. I love it. Well, it's okay because we'll have you again if we can't connect. Why don't you call back, or we'll have the producer call you back one more time, see if we can get a better connection. I love it. People are burning their masks like burning their bras. I also know something else is kind of interesting. It's not for me. I'll tell you why. I have a friend who says, you know, she just bought a mask with cheesecloth, you know, cheesecloth, which actually attracts germs. We put them on our cold air returns in our house so that they can clean the dust out of the it actually attracts dust. So there are, believe it or not, cheesecloth masks. And on the mask, it says, "This is tyranny." This is a free plug for Etsy. That's where I found them. But for me, and we all get to make our own decisions because individualism being what it is, it's exactly what the left doesn't want us to be, which is individuals, to think for ourselves, to do things the way we like doing them instead of the way somebody who has no credibility whatsoever wants to force us into doing. Such arrogance, such elitism. It just makes me so mad. But nonetheless, it isn't just emotion. It is very purposeful. The reason I don't like, see, I always come back. The reason I don't like having a mask, even one that says, Make America Great Again, or Donald Trump, or a Jewish star. I've seen all those things. It just bothers me that people are still bending over backwards to comply. If there wasn't a tyrannical government telling me to wear a mask for a virus which has a 0.00, whatever I wrote, 39% death rate, and you could, it's more dangerous for you to cross the street. But that's not the argument. The argument is force. We always get caught up in the debate about whether masks are good or bad, and I think we need to stop doing that, if I may be so bold as to say. It's not about whether you agree or disagree with masks. I don't care how much you agree. You can plead with me. You can even demand that I wear one if you're a fellow citizen, and I can tell you to go pound salt. What I cannot abide, and what no one should abide, is when unelected bureaucrats, leftist governors who have an entirely different political agenda, want to force you to wear a mask or stay home. I predicted this. I did. You're basically being forced into another lockdown, because what they want is either they're going to bully you into submission, or you're not going to be able to get groceries. You're not going to be able to participate in life. These are the people who have been forcing others who forced Jack Phillips to bake a cake, a custom wedding cake for a gay wedding, and he didn't want to. And based on equal access, they tried to force him into it, dragged him into court all the way to the Supreme Court for 6 and 7 years. They cut his business in half. And so once again, it is rules for thee, but not for me. You know, I get to be rich and powerful and tell people what to do, like Jared Polis, who has millions, probably a half a billion or more. I forget. I haven't checked. I don't care. I'm not even jealous. I don't care. I just want him to get off our backs, which he refuses, because he's being directed by other Democrats that are on his back to basically push this agenda, this ridiculous agenda on all of us. Not only does it make no sense, but when you comply with it, you're simply enabling tyranny. Does anybody in their right mind think that it isn't going to get worse if they get away with this? Well, of course it is. So however you can defy tyranny, do it. If I have another friend who is all jazzed about wearing Kleenex on your face just to show how stupid it is, well, do it. If it is part of defiance, great. And here's the problem. Conservatives are just not great defiers, you know? We come from a long line of great defiers. The founders were defiant and defied the British. I used to know somebody who happened to be a Jordanian Muslim who said to me, if there was a problem of two fish arguing at the bottom of the ocean, it would probably be the fault of the British. I'm going to play for you one of my favorite movie audio clips. So, Doug, get ready. I've played it before, but I used it for the bottom of my article at Western Journal for the last line. And then I'll give you the last line that I said. But I want to use the line from Gandhi, the movie, 1982, Gandhi, Ben Kingsley portraying Gandhi. And here is what he said.
You don't think we're just going to walk out of India?
Yes. In the end, you will walk out. Because 100,000 Englishmen simply cannot control 350 million Indians if those Indians refuse to cooperate. And that is what we intend to achieve. Peaceful, non-violent, non-cooperation.
It's a beautiful thing. So at the end of my article, I said, so they had to kick out the British, Americans had to kick out the British. But it is instructive. 100,000 Englishmen simply cannot control 350 million Indians if those Indians refuse to cooperate. He was so good in this movie. And the last line of my piece, it's time to stop cooperating. It's time to stop cooperating. Defy these tyrants and let them know that they have no power. The only way to do that is to stand up clear and strong and proud, and remember the Constitution. Remember who you are as an American. We're Americans, for heaven's sake. We don't roll over for someone because he says you have to put a piece of cloth on your face in order to go shopping. And yet that is the alternate universe that we are living in today. It's, you know, a lot of people are very angry. A lot of people are very depressed. It's time to put that into action. I want to do a couple of shameless plugs here. It is, as we mentioned, the week of July 17th, show number 121. And I have the pleasure tomorrow morning of sitting in for Gary S. Goldman on WCRN Radio in Worcester, Mass. But they have like a 50,000-watt station, if that's correct, directional station. So they are covered all over New England. And I am very much looking forward to filling in for Gary. You can listen live at WCRN Radio, or you can go to my Facebook page, and I've posted it there. It's called WCRN Radio, and you can just listen on the live stream if you don't happen to be in the listening area. And I'm still putting together my guest list for tomorrow, but I wanted to let you know about that so you might be able to tune in. The other plug is I want to let you know who we're going to have as my guest in just a couple of minutes. And this is fun when one of the many great things about doing talk radio is when you get to have your friends on, people that you really love, respect. And I have come to love and respect my press representative. And she has been experiencing quite a lot of very interesting personal stories that she's going to share with us. Yes, it's about masks. Masks, masking, covering up the Constitution, covering up the truth is what it is about. Now, I'm not going to hammer on every single week, but I really hope that you'll see that masks is a symbolic thing. It's a symbolic thing of this masquerade of socialism and communism replacing America and free markets. It's preposterous. We have to make sure it doesn't happen. We have to make sure that we reelect Donald Trump because he's one of the few things that is standing between us and this kind of tyranny. When we come back, we'll have my friend Sandy Frazier right after this on Spouting Off. Stay tuned. There's a whole lot more to come. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
And welcome back to Spouting Off. I just love being home at my show, even though I do an awful lot of radio the rest of the week. And part of the reason I do so much radio for the rest of, during the rest of the week is the whiz, the master of publicizing, the publicist, I'm telling you. I cannot say enough great things about her. She is a freelance publicist, and she specializes in talk radio, my passion. She has been in business since 1998 in this business, and she is an A-list freelancer known by producers and hosts of TV and radio shows all over America as a leading agent to high-profile authors and expert commentators in the news media. And I'm honored to be on her roster, Sandy Frazier. Thank you for joining us here on Spouting Off.
Wow, is that who I am?
Yeah, that's it.
It's so funny hearing it, you know. All these years have gone by, and I mean, I have just had such a great success, a lot of success with talk radio. I always say talk radio saved my life, you know, because it put me on a path of learning, and simply because I have the greatest clients on the planet, and all of you are so marvelous, and I love you all so much, and you're educated, and you teach me cool things every day, and it's really neat. So publicist is not really what I am. I'm just I'm a student of you.
Oh, well, but you are, you teach me every day too. And, I'm pleased to call you a friend. And, folks, she's not just a publicist. She is an accomplished artist. And an accomplished singer. You have your own records that you've done. I don't know if you have a record label, but tell us real quickly about your latest song that you put out.
Well, I started, it was a painting called Shapeshift, and ooh, it's an idea that sort of came, you know, it's a kind of an abstract idea, but with all the AI out there taking over our lives and everything, I really wanted to do something completely different. And my brother was alive at the time, and he was inspiring me. And I don't know, it turned out kind of to be a song about him going off into another dimension so that I could, you know, tolerate his death and know that he is in a better place. Well, he's not on Earth, so you know he's in a better place now.
That's just a minor diss of the Earth. I mean, I have heard people say, you know, dogs are better than people. And you know what?
Of course.
Mine is sitting here right next to my feet, and there are times I believe that.
Baby.
But, oh, he's so adorable. We're going to make a little... Yeah, oh, he's the best. Montana. So we're going to make a little shift because you have so many stories. You are in the Southeast. You can say where you are, where you're not, but you have been having some, you have been having a time, Sandy. Share with the audience before, and we've got some time before our next break, about one of the outrageous things that's been happening to you simply because you've refused to wear a mask, like in stores, in where you are. I mean, you got amazing things to tell us.
Well, my first instinct when they brought up this mask thing was, that's not for me, because after 9/11, you know, you recall that we kind of all had our heads in the sand, so to speak, before 9/11. How many people had even heard of a burqa? Or any kind of facial covering. We all sort of were living our lives and being Americans, and we could never imagine that we would be forced to wear a burqa. And so when this came up, immediately I thought of 9/11, pre-9/11, and then post-9/11, how we had to educate ourselves about the Middle East and how they treat women. Mm. And so
That's quite true. Let me just say that if you're a Christian, which I'm not, Christians believe this is the mark of the beast. And whatever you believe, what is happening is force is being employed in a way that is not in the Constitution, not in any way, shape, or form, based on a fraud, based on governors extending their emergency powers when there is no longer an emergency. It's not even a pandemic anymore. But the Colorado governor continues to extend his powers in order to tell us what to do. So,
well, it's weird how it got worse after the supposed flattening of the curve. But the thing is, it's designed, if you recall years ago, there were people in communist China walking around, staring at the ground with their little masks on, walking around. We didn't know why they were doing that. They were doing it because they had to remain anonymous. They're just beings walking through the streets. And so you can't look at their faces. You can't see who they are. They're not allowed to express themselves. And by shutting
such
your mouth.
Such a brilliant point.
Yeah.
Such a brilliant point, Sandy.
And you know what, Karen? This is the funniest thing, too, because I was working on a series of paintings last year, mm-hmm. and I actually did a painting of Mask. It was almost one of those premonition paintings, you know? And it's on my it's on my Facebook. I posted it, I think, last week when I ran across the painting, and I go, oh, my God, this is like a prediction.
And well, and your mom was a psychic, right? I mean, that's what she did, is she was a well-known psychic. So,
yeah, and
you know,
we practiced automatic writing, automatic drawing, and things like that. You can channel, you know, you can bring messages through that are, you know, even predictions. And before 9/11, I did a whole
skeptic, but yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Before 9/11 happened, back in the mid to late 90s, mm-hmm. I was doing a whole series of paintings about pyramids, the Middle East, men walking around in turbans. And I said to my mom, I said, why am I doing these paintings? They're all Middle East themes. And then boom, 9/11 hit. And suddenly we're immersed in their culture and their, you know, all the things that we had to learn about them that we had just sort of been ignoring. They were kind of like, oh, yeah, look at those cool people with their head dressings and their veils and things like that, not even knowing what it meant. And now we know firsthand.
Yeah. Let me connect a few dots here, because you've given me so many wonderful openings here. I mean, you know, that's that's why you're the best. But let's connect some dots here, because what you mentioned that I've written extensively on is that in order to impose socialism / communism, which are really only about 5 years apart, if you talk to, you know, Trevor Loudon, he says, what's the difference? About 5 years. In order to do that, you must erase individuality. You must erase personal responsibility. If we all look alike, I'll give you another example. When you go to Amish country, and I wrote about this in my book that I sent you, Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin, when I was doing bike riding through Pennsylvania Dutch country, and I walked into a store and there were a bunch of dolls with those bonnets on, but they had no faces. And it scared the living life out of me. I dropped it as if I had just dropped a spider or a tarantula, because being an individual was so important to me. That's, you know, my mother was trying to force me into her idea of being a beauty pageant contestant and all of that. And so, you know, being an individualist, finding your own way in life and living your own, or as Oprah would say, living your best life.
Individualism. Wait a minute. I didn't watch Oprah.
No, well, I used to when I thought she was straightforward, but she's not. She's another one who's turned into a zombie, or maybe she always was. But my point being that individualism must be erased in order for socialism to take hold, as well as passivity, enormous government, massive government, and making people as small and as serfs to the government, which is the antithesis of America and constitutional republic. Well, if you combine that
and
with what you talked about, our ingenuity, exactly. You're an artist. You know that. Most
our
artists.
Our inventiveness. I mean, we're not
to know that.
Now we're not allowed to invent things now. We're not allowed to speak up. We're not allowed to say what the obvious is in every situation. I mean,
we are put down figuratively or literally for disagreeing. I mean, God forbid that the president of Goya should be a Trump supporter. That's enough to get you boycotted. And of course, the conservatives are boycotting, which I think is hilarious. But this is what the left does. So one more dot to connect, and then I'll give you the floor, because, you know, talk show hosts don't want to give up the floor. But one more dot to connect. And that is, you mentioned 9/11. And I do believe that the Islamists are lying in wait for the moment.
Oh, they are. We're being set up again.
We're
being
set up.
We're so distracted that, you know, we're so distracted with all these crazy things that are going
well,
on.
Well, but also readying the country for accepting something, because of nature abhors a void. And your great client David Horowitz wrote a book a long time ago called Unholy Alliance, about the unholy alliance between the Islamic radical jihadists and the left. But I've always asked, who's the useful idiot of whom? And I think the useful idiots on in the progressive left that want to turn us socialist, they think we're going to have anarchy. No, we're not, because the Islamists will come marching in and fill that void with Sharia law. This is not a good thing. Your thoughts?
This is so similar to Sharia law. And, you know, I have a lot of clients that I've represented over the years who have fought radical Islam, and you know quite a few of them. And, you know, they're all telling me, they're asking me, why isn't Fox having me on as a guest anymore? Oh, well, they don't want to talk about radical Islam. They don't want to talk about you know, the fact that we're being set up for another attack, because they want it kept quiet. They're on the side of these evil people that will come in and attack us again in many, many different ways. And my radical Islam clients who know so much, they've been warning about it, but they're being kept quiet. And I can tell you that, you know, honestly, saying it on the radio, maybe a lot of your audience is starting to detect that, even at, you know, networks like Fox News Channel, where you used to be able to count on, you know, getting some information here and there. But
well, what's happened at Fox News is an interesting thing. We could talk about that, but I have to take a break. Because, you know, nobody knows talk radio better than Sandy Frazier.
Yes.
She does. But, Will, thank you for agreeing to stay with us over a break. When we come back, I want you to talk a little bit about your personal experience with masks, where you're living, and how it's even, if you're willing to talk about it, even come between you and some of your friends and family. I mean, this is a dividing line, not only from our mouth to someone else's, but a dividing line amongst people. And it's very similar to cults. That's how cults work as well.
It's all part of the design.
It is. Sandy is a bright, bright lady. Wonderful publicist, more than that. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Spouting Off, and I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Stay tuned.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Oh, we're having so much fun off the air. It's just ridiculous. It's like when my husband and I go out to dinner and we laugh and people come up to us and say, you two are having way too much fun. And we say, yep, that's right. Sandy Frazier, gotta let everybody know, is a freelance publicist specializing in talk radio. There's nobody better. Everybody knows her. She has been in the business since 1998. She's an A-list freelancer and is known by producers and hosts of TV and radio shows all over America, and is a leading agent to high-profile authors. I'm not so high-profile, but an expert commentators in the news media. Thanks, Sandy, for staying with us. So
more than that, I think that it's like our good friend Dr. Lamero always says.
Yes.
He calls me and reassures me. He says, Sandy, you're doing a wonderful service, because you're putting people out there that are just brilliant, and that they're educating people in their cars and, you know, on the way home from work and you know, going to work and back and forth. And it is. I mean, I feel like, you know, talk radio is the final frontier.
You're right. And no wonder they want to shut people down who do it, because it is effective and leftists can't do it. They've tried.
Well,
and they
own everything else. They own every other aspect of the media.
Yeah, they do. You know, I've invited plenty of people to debate certain things which they literally cannot make a case for, and they just refuse to come on the radio. And I say, well, that's fine. You don't want to come on? That's just fine. I'm not going to pull my punches, though.
Tell
us a little bit about what you've been experiencing. You've decided, God love you, that you won't wear a mask, and I will not either. And so when you decided not to do that, all of a sudden you're getting all kinds of pushback from people personally and professionally, right? I mean, when you go into a store or even family. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm sure that it's happening to a lot of people all over America. They're losing friends and family members are disassociating themselves with people because some people honestly believe that you're evil and that you're, you know, you're inconsiderate and you're a murderer and everything else if you are not.
Stunning,
a mask,
murderer.
How can they buy into such
nonsense? But it is.
Well,
it's
they're actually killing each other. You know, you see it every day on the news and online. You know, somebody else got in an argument about the mask and somebody ended up dead. And you just have to really say, wow, how did it escalate to that? But now I'm starting to understand.
The media, which you are in, is inciting this kind of hate and discontent. And by the way, I'm going to make a minor prediction here because my predictions have been pretty good. And I'm not even Dr. Gerard Lomero. I'm going to have him on soon. But
Nostradamus.
Yes. Right. He predicted Donald Trump would win when almost nobody else did. And my prediction is that pretty soon, and we're already beginning to see it, so it's not that hard a prediction to make, the same lockstep propaganda media is going to start characterizing anti-maskers as the violent ones, the ones that are scary. I saw a story just recently that someone who is not wearing a mask is now a threat to a security guard because he refuses to wear a mask, and we're violent, don't you know? We're the violent ones. Antifa's not violent. BLM is not violent. People burning cities to the ground and burning Wendy's to the ground, they're not violent.
Right,
but, you know, people who don't want to wear masks are violent. This is hardcore propaganda, folks. That's what it is.
It really is. I mean, you could break down somebody's wrought iron fence and you're not violent, but the people standing out there defending their home in St. Louis, the McCluskeys, you know, I mean, it's just, God. It's infuriating.
Yeah,
but
it is.
But no, tell me about this.
Yeah, it's your story, a little bit.
I had an experience yesterday that just broke my heart. It really did because you know, my brother passed away in February, and so he had a storage space in Austin, Texas, and you know, I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, and so I've been paying on it. You know, I went online. And I said, you know, why can't I just pay for his space online? They wouldn't let me do it. They said, no, you have to go to a local, you know, outlet. So I said, okay, fine. Drove over there, walked in, and there were two women in there, and they were socially distancing from way across the room. And I walked in. Yeah. I said, I need to pay my brother's storage space. And they said, you have to put a mask on right now. And I said, no, I don't. I said, I don't wear masks, and I'm not going to put one on now or ever.
And good for you.
She said, well, I'm going to call the police then. And I said, go ahead. I said, please do. I'd like to see this in action because they don't have enough, you know, misery. They don't have enough to do right now, you know, with Charleston
Sandy.
Having been ripped
love
to shreds, looted.
Yes,
you know,
Charleston's
and
a mess.
I said, I know it. And she was unrelenting. I mean, I said, listen, it'll take me 2 minutes. I'll swipe the card. You guys just stay back. And then, you know, I'll run out the door. And she insisted. I mean, she was so mean about it. She said, you know, it's the law. And I said, it's not the law.
It's a
suggestion. It's a guideline. And she said, no, it's an ordinance. It came down. The governor says we have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, it's not a law. You have to understand that. And I said, you want to make the choice to wear a mask, but you can't tell me to wear a mask. Mm-hmm. And so she got on the phone and started to call the police.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, great. And then
good for you.
All of a sudden, I heard a man in the next room, and he said, no, no. Because they knew that they couldn't order somebody to do, you know, wear a mask. And she said, fine, just swipe your card. And I said, so instead of being thanked for my business or whatever in all these places, like my friend and I going to the crab shack the other night for dinner, you know, each of us spent probably $50 eating crab legs, and they let us in fine here. We showed them the exempt card. But then on the way out, we were accosted by the management, and they literally said to us, rather than saying, wow, thank you for your business. I mean, we're really suffering here, and you know, it's awful what's happening, and we don't have a lot of business. So instead of saying that, they said point blank, don't come back here without a mask on. And I said, you know what? I said, I won't be coming back here because I don't wear masks, you know? And I mean, a guy that I have been going to his Greek restaurant over here for 30 years, my whole family.
A great job of brainwashing people in such a short time, haven't they? This is a cult. There's just no doubt about it. Your courage, Sandy, is so refreshing. What we're seeing among conservatives of all kinds of stripes is either timidity. They just want to go along to get along. They want to be polite. They want to be nice. They don't want to rock the boat.
Well, my friend is telling me that some of these people have been threatened, you know, that their business will be closed, especially if they're just a regular, you know, mom and pop place, or, you know, and they're not a big chain. If they're a big chain, they're not threatened. I do not doubt it.
And you know what else they'll do? They'll tell them that the health department will secretly be watching them to see how they do. This is the bullying of private businesses by socialist communists. Remember, and you know, because you posted my piece, thank you. We have seen, quote, we have seen how deadly the combination of collectivism and social bullying can be. It can often lead to mob rule and violence. And at that point, politicians don't have to worry about enforcing their unconstitutional orders. The mob does it for them.
Yeah. And these, the governor over here in South Carolina is a Republican, and the mayor is a Democrat. The mayor allowed and in fact told the police to stand down at the end of May when we had the riots here, and they tore up the holy city. Like, I mean, this is a beautiful city. And they ripped it to shreds. They destroyed it. And now you walk down King Street, which is the main street, and it's all Black Lives Matter, you know, which is an oxymoron.
An avowed Marxist group. It's an anti-Semitic group. I'm seeing yard signs in our neighborhood with a whole bunch of rainbow colors. Black Lives Matter, love is love, all these leftist slogans. And these people do not know that Black Lives Matter is an America-hating, white-hating, anti-Semitic Marxist group that wants to bring down America. I mean, if ever there was a useful idiot, it's people that put those on their yards thinking, you know, virtue signaling. See how good I am. This is a psyop. This is psychological manipulation. And your courage of standing up, and the way you told the story was beautiful, Sandy, because you said the more angry they got, the calmer you got. They're saying, you must do this. And you said, no, I don't. And call the police.
It's a natural inclination to want to breathe fresh air because God gave us, you know, oxygen to breathe. And in Charleston right now, it's sunny and bright and beautiful, and they're taking away more and more. You just walk around, park closed, this is closed, that's closed. Just like, you know, and I mean, I've been in seven states over the past several months, having gone down to Florida, Texas, Louisiana. You know, we were stopped in Louisiana and harassed and, you know, asked which cities, that, you know, that we've been to. And it was a little scary making the trip to Texas. But, you know.
Hate to do this to you, but we have to wrap up this show. So if you'd like to hang on.
I thought we just started.
I know. Isn't it amazing? If you'd like to hold
Karen,
on. First,
Karen, we have to. We have to sing the old Carol Burnett song. I'm so
glad we had this time together. Okay, but tell everybody about where they can find your music, your artwork, whatever you want to plug, my dear. It's your turn. And then I'll wrap up the show.
Well, sandyfrazier.com. And right now I'm interested in if people want to go on my Facebook page, they'll see a list of almost 300 businesses that are supporting the terrorist group Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
Okay, well, so Sandy Frazier, you'll find her dramatic photograph there, an exotic looking person if ever I saw one, and really great at what she does. Thank you, Sandy Frazier, for joining us here on Spouting Off. What an inspired idea. Thank you, Doug, my producer, and BBS Radio. Thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be, a whole lot to spout off about here on Spouting Off.